Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. I am your host, Stuart Howe, and this is show number 41 already. Wow. November 13th, 2021. Hope you had a good week and got through all the craziness out there. We're there with you, man. It is a wild ride through this crazy world with all this nonsense going on. And thank you for being here with us, whether you're listening live or listening to one of the rebroadcasts. I'm glad you're with us. Thank you for that. I've got a great guest for us today. He'll be on in a few minutes. And hey, if you're new to the show, the name of the show, the White Rose Resistance Hour, is an homage to a group that was pretty profound. They were resistance intellectually and philosophically to the rise of the Third Reich. And so this show is honoring them. And I think there are many more millions of us around the world than they would like for us to know that are resisting this rollout of tyranny under the guise of a fake pandemic that we're facing. And with that said, my heart goes out to all those people that are affected by the underlying reality of a bad flu, a respiratory illness. But they are using that as cover for some pretty draconian stuff. So I've got our guest on the line. I think you're going to like his tale. He's a wonderful guy. He is a community-oriented, good-hearted neighbor, and he's faced some opposition. So his tale is one that can be an inspiration to all of us, because he is prevailing through some opposition to getting some community and neighborhood togetherness. And he's a really good inspiration for all of us. So his name is Jeremy Morris, and he's up here in North Idaho area with us. And on that note, I want to thank Casey Whalen, who's up here, and he's our mutual friend. He has a really good channel on YouTube called North Idaho Exposed. So if you're not familiar with Casey Whalen's work, I recommend everybody take a look at that. He has a lot of great interviews, a lot of good content on North Idaho Exposed over on the YouTube channel. So that being said, Jeremy, are you with us?
No.
I can hear you just fine. Am I coming through okay to you?
Yeah, I'm in a car that's parked, but I definitely I didn't know if it was better if I take it off of the car speaker or if this is clear enough for you.
This sounds okay, and if there's a problem, our producer Sam will break in or send me a note and let me know. But everything's good so far, and I appreciate your coming on with us. If you can, just take a minute and introduce yourself. I've watched your trailer, which is phenomenal, on Apple Plus, and about the situation that you're in. But if you could, go ahead and just introduce yourself to our audience out there.
Well, sure. Thank you. So, yes, my name is Jeremy Morris. A lot of people call me, they call me a lot of things. Some you cannot repeat in good company.
Right.
But the Christmas lawyer, Mr. Christmas. Basically, I just look at myself as a patriot, someone who, you know, believes in fighting for freedom in this country, and in particular with respect to the culture war. I think that's where my heart lies the most, and that is really not just American culture, but Western culture, fighting and standing up for Western tradition, celebrations of that are traditional to that go back hundreds, in some cases thousands of years, and span the globe in Western culture, Western societies, which now it seems like are just really under attack in an effort by globalists to replace anything that is Christian, anything that has any roots in European history, with something that is just anything that is not Christian, European, and I call these people Christophobes, Europhobes, because they're Christophobic. You've heard of heterophobes and those kinds of people who are afraid of the. We always hear liberals talk about the other. Well, I think they've painted us to be very much like the other. And so that's what I stand for. My family, I grew up in Southern California. I lived in Oregon for a period of time. And then after high school, spent some time in Sacramento, really on my own, kind of homeless for a period of time, living in a plastic tube in a fitness club in Sacramento. And then really moved to Louisiana, where I again became homeless, this time living on a bayou. And finally, starting a company, because a lot of people came to me during this period of time offering me government services, welfare. And, you know, I won't make judgment on certain people who, you know, seek out government programs. But I will say that I knew that if I did that, I probably would. It'd be difficult for me to stop taking a government program, so I refused them. And the result was I was very hungry, and some people thought I had AIDS because I was so skinny. And but I started a business, and the business was quickly doing six figures. I put myself through college. I went to four different universities, and then eventually law school, living in Texas. Graduated from Southern Methodist University in Dallas with honors and distinction in history and political science, and then eventually law school in Virginia. And it was sometime after having graduated from law school and then signing up to be an officer in the military. I was eventually seriously wounded in a training accident. As a lawyer, I then took my the road show to Idaho, where I ended up planting roots, getting married, and having now four children. And that's where the tale, where the story begins, after sort of Forrest Gumping it for a while and trekking across the country and kind of one big circle, and having a lot of difficulties along the way, but difficulties that I think made me a stronger person. It then became not so hard for me when my a homeowners association told me that it was offensive to non-Christian people to have a Christmas display. It was relatively easy for me to go to war with them, and it was a war, and it is a war, and it's been going on for 6 years.
Wow. Well, I would imagine that your rise out of your situation of homelessness and through the ranks, as it were, of business and the military and all through that experience, you, I would imagine, developed a great affinity for divinity and felt some divine inspiration and some appreciation for community and the Christian fellowship and all those good-hearted, good-natured things that you felt empowering you along the way, and then wanted to share that with your community with these Christmas displays and with a Christmas-themed, you know, gathering in your neighborhood. So that is really all under attack. You know, whether it's certainly Christianity is definitely in the center of the target, but anything, as you pointed out, that has a national heritage, that is, you know, good natured, is definitely coming under attack. So, please share a little bit about, and we've got, you know, at least another 10 or 12 minutes in this segment, about what it was like to, you know, kind of start gathering momentum towards having a really wonderful Christmas theme gathering at your home and a display and getting the community together, and then how that opposition rose up. That's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't comment on Apple, as I'm not supposed to, but in terms of the film, but I do urge, of course, anyone to watch the film that's premiering on November 26th on Apple Plus. While I won't comment on making the film and how that all came to be, I am here to definitely discuss, you know, kind of what I've been discussing on Good Morning America and Fox News and all those different networks every Christmas for the last 5-6 years. It seems like everybody wants to know, how did this happen? Like, how did this become a force? How did it all start? And why is it such an interesting story? Why would anyone even want to make a movie about this? And I think what it mostly comes down to is that a lot of things in life are contrived, right? So people, I'm going to make a big splash, or I'm going to really provoke. A lot of people accused me of provoking a war on Christmas, right? Because I guess supposedly we need to really create examples of hostility from atheists. It's ridiculous. The examples are all over the place. But what happened in my case was not only did I not provoke this war, I didn't even really put anything in place to create this show. The show was a miracle. And that's the crazy thing about people like, Jeremy, what gave you the idea for this, and how did you do this? And that's the beautiful thing about it. I think the most amazing thing is I really can't take credit for it. I absolutely give credit to God. I 100% believe this is a miracle. And that's why when a miracle happens in your life and you have some means, some ability to do something about it, to protect that miracle, I think you're going to fight with your life. And in my case, I spent $1.3 million of my own money. That's $1.3 million. That's everything I had, to where I had nothing. And that was okay. I've done it. I've earned my money once. I can earn it again. But I decided some things in life are worth fighting for. And at the end of the day, when you're in your deathbed, are you going to be proud of what you did with your life? And that was the answer. I wanted to be sure that I could say I would be proud. What happened was my grandfather passed away in 2009. He was a World War II hero. He fought in Italy, saved a lot of people on a transport. And he left to me a cotton candy machine from the 1960s. It was all broken. It didn't work. So I went about finding some people that could help me repair it. And I learned techniques in fiberglassing and so on and so forth. Then I set about and fixed this cotton candy machine. Now, I'm not a person who really celebrates Halloween. I don't really do that. Some people do, and that's great. But on this year, a number of years back, my wife decided to take our then only daughter, at that time we had one daughter, to a thing at a church. It was sort of a harvest festival or something, but it was on October 31st. So she took our daughter there, and I just said, you know, I don't really do this stuff. I don't celebrate that. I love Christmas. So I sat at my house, and I get a phone call from a friend and says, you know, from Dallas, and he says, you know, you've been working on that cotton candy machine. You should wheel that cotton candy machine out in front of your house because I'm sure children would love to see it. Now, I happened that year for the first time to be putting Christmas lights on my house, and I've been collecting these lights for a few years. As I moved around the country, I sort of never used them. I kept collecting them at yard sales and so on and so forth and fixing them, and I didn't know how many I had, but I'd started putting them up in August, just to give you any indication of how many lights there were. So it was a lot of lights. Yeah, and I hadn't put them on, turned them on yet, but it was October 31st. My friend says, turn them on. So I did. I turned on my lights. I pushed out the cotton candy machine, and my wife came home from that event to find me with about 100, 200 children rimming the block, going around the block. It was a crowd because the whole sky glowed. And there I was on the front of my porch with this cotton candy machine, as this thing was just pumping out cotton candy machine at a factory production level. And I looked at her and I said to her, we are going to do this, but we're going to do it for Christmas. And that's how it started.
Awesome. Now, that all seems really, really great, you know, getting a community together and, you know, making the kids happy. How did this somehow, how could that possibly turn into a negative? Where did the resistance start? You planned on a gathering for Christmas, and then the neighbors or the homeowners association sort of, you know, would rise up against you. Is that kind of what happened?
Not exactly. My wife said, hey, I love your idea, you know, doing this for Christmas, but why don't you also contact some charities? And the more I got talking to charities, and I've never done charity work prior to this, now it's like all I do. But at that time, I didn't really have a lot of experience. And, you know, when you start to meet with children and you start to see the need in communities, and it breaks your heart and you just realize, gosh, you know, I need to give more. I need to do more to help people that can't help themselves. And so these charities said, hey, we can help you. We'll set up some things on some social media sites, or we'll tell you how to, you know, set these different things up on the Internet. because the idea was I was going to have a little bucket at the end of my driveway, and it was going to be my wife. In fact, we went out to buy a 6-cup worth of hot chocolate thermos at Walmart late at night at 11 o'clock. Hey, that thing is coming up that's out on social media. We better get this thing. So she bought a 6-cup. She was going to boil water on the stove. My daughter was going to, at that time was 3, hand out a candy cane. And I was going to hand out the cotton candy. So we figured it's Christmas, it's freezing, it's Idaho, there's snow. There's going to be no one coming out, but maybe some people will drive by the road. They'll see us and they'll throw some money in a box. Well, we looked over at that, one of the social media pages, and it said 917 families had signed up, and this was within 5 days.
Wow.
We realized there were families, not individuals, but families. So we knew this was, and then it was something like 7,000 people signed up in the next couple of days. So there was certainly well over 10,000 people on their way to a small rental home. And, of course, we raised thousands of money for children. I had to make it bigger. I knew a lady with a camel. I found a choir. I found a number of singing groups. So the thing exploded. It got bigger and bigger. And they would hug me, and they would hold me at the show, and they would say, I did this for, at that time, 8 days. And they would say, whatever you do, you can never stop doing this. And I couldn't break it to them. I could never do it in that neighborhood again. It was too small. And so shortly after it ended, in fact, on December 27th of that year, just after Christmas, we went house hunting and we found an epic, enormous, huge house. And it was perfect. And so we decided we were going to make an offer on the house and bring that beautiful Christmas show that we had created, this ministry to help children suffering from cancer. We were going to bring this to a new neighborhood. Little did we know that the neighborhood would greet us with a letter and a demand that there were non-Christians in the neighborhood that would be offended by this Christmas display. And they even referred to themselves as avowed atheists. And so, you know, that began a process of litigation that has lasted and continues to go for years and years and years in federal court, the appellate court, the Ninth Circuit Court, and now, soon to be now, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, that is absolutely astounding that there would be opposition to such a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, you would think these people would, you know, embrace something wonderful coming to their neighborhood that helps so many people, have a sense of community and have a wonderful time and, you know, elevate the spirits of the children. That is just amazing to me that people would be that hateful that they'd look to shut something like that down. Now, we may have a break coming up here. I don't know if we're on a standard break schedule, but we may have a break coming up at 4:20. Here I've got 4:19 our time, but you'll hear the music coming in. That'll be our cue. We'll have a short break, and then we'll have another segment after that. But that's incredible. Well, what was it that really became the first successes for you in, you know, I'm imagining you had a great deal of support and, you know, in standing up against this opposition. So, you know, what did that look like? How did that go as soon as you, you know, got the opposition through these atheists banding together to, you know, to steal the Christmas festivities? You know, what was it like, you know, having people rally behind you and gathering some, we've got a break coming up. We'll get into that when we come back. Sounds like I heard some music coming up there in the background. Yeah, we'll be right back, folks. I've got Jeremy Morris with us. We'll be right back for the second segment of the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belong to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son, if your pants were undone, 'cause you were bred for humanity and sold to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day, a million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day. So as you push off from the shore, won't you turn your head once more and make your peace with everyone?
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to show number 41 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. And I'm happy to have Jeremy Morris with us. Jeremy was telling us about setting up this wonderful Christmas gathering at his new home and how he had opposition from these purported atheists, and how anybody could be against such a thing is just beyond me. But, you know, what I know from my observation is that divine intervention tends to start to work, and things seem to come together, and it's not always easy, and it doesn't go smoothly as we'd like. But, you know, Jeremy, I so appreciate your striving to keep this event together, and tell us what that's been like, you know, how things have come together to help you, and how the community perhaps has rallied, because I think we're gonna see a lot of this in different areas. It may not be a Christmas theme, but as people come together, I think we're going to see a lot of divine intervention and a lot of things, you know, working out for us, because certainly the power of divinity and, you know, karma is with you. So, yeah, please, we've got a short segment here. We're going to, let's see, we'll go to just about the bottom of the hour. And, yeah, tell us what that was like when it started to turn the corner and you started to get support to stand up against this homeowners association and these atheists.
Yeah, well, thank you. The I guess the first thing that you talk about divine intervention, wow, the one thing that really I learned from this, maybe this makes me indicates that I'm a small spiritual, needing spiritual growth kind of person, that I didn't know this before. But wow, are human beings small-minded. We think so small, and God thinks so much bigger than us. And not only does that go with, you know, my wife thinking at Walmart, we're going to buy this. You know, we really did. We bought it. We bought a cup that holds 6 cups of hot cocoa. And then I'm looking out of my house, and I'm seeing a sea of people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people as far as you can see. And I just, you know, you just say, how did this happen? You know, so that's the first thing. But in terms of saving our program, saving our show, saving this ministry that I never anticipated I was going to have a ministry, the same thing goes. And the first one that comes to mind is I put out a demand when they violated my civil rights. And I said, listen, I'm going to give you guys 3 days, just 3 days, to sign an agreement to release my home from this homeowners association. You're going to de-annex me. And it's a process of de-annexation. It's rare, but it can be done. But I said the alternative is you're going to face potentially millions of dollars in costs, which definitely happened. You know, millions of dollars in losses if I win a judgment against you. And meanwhile, I can go to court all day long because I'm an attorney and I will take you to federal court. And I prayed about it, and I asked God, oh, God, please, I just pray that they sign this agreement. Why would they not? I did not ask for a penny. And maybe that makes me a stupid lawyer. They just violated the Fair Housing Act, which makes it clear you can't discriminate on the basis of religion, and they explicitly said that they did. And here I am wishing that they would sign this, and they didn't. And I went to a Bible study and said, what do I do now? And a lot of people there said, you know, turn the other cheek. You need to just turn the other cheek. That's what Jesus would do. Turn the other cheek and just go along and move into the house that you'd put this offer down on and just hope that everything gets better, because now maybe they'll leave you alone. And so that is what I ended up doing. I could have filed the lawsuit right then. I did have a demand. I asked within 3 days to do this. They didn't. And what ended up happening? What ended up happening is I then had a message that exploded around the world as people saw that these atheistic people, how dark their hearts are. And it became an opportunity to show the world really that there really are these Grinches out there, these people who are slimy. I call them the people that live just north of Whoville, right? They're real.
Right.
And they will literally blockade a road. They did in my case. They blockaded a road with snowplows to prevent buses from coming to bring people so that we could help children with cancer. And so, in the end, am I glad they never signed that paper? Yeah, no one would have ever heard about this if they had signed that paper. But because they had their hearts hardened, because they refused to do what I wanted so badly, the divine intervention there was that they did not. That they didn't. Just like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that's what happened here. I believe he hardened their hearts, prevented them from doing the easy thing, signing a thing that they never would have had to pay a dime, and no one would have heard about this. And the result was not only did people all around the world hear about this, but thousands and thousands of more people than ever would have come to our show came to our show because of that.
Awesome. And there's even a bigger story developing, and with the show, with the movie coming out. We'll get into that on the other side of this break on the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe and my guest Jeremy Morris.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, everybody, to the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. And hey, you know, if you get a chance, if you're feeling up to it, go ahead and support the show, the network. Call in and send in some a little bit of funds if you can to help RBN. It's going through a tough time right now with the passing of John, rest his soul. And yeah, it really is a wonderful venue that we have here. So yeah, welcome back. I've got my guest Jeremy Morris on the line, and we've got a long segment coming up here, Jeremy. So it really is a wonderful story how you're prevailing in all of this, and such a great story that I know there's areas of this movie that which has wonderful production value. The trailer is great. Such a great story that Apple Plus TV, I believe, has picked it up, and I know there's only so much you can tell us, but if you could get into that, because it's a great story. It's a, it's an epic example of the struggle between, good people and community and these haters, the Grinches, as you call them. So, yeah, what can you tell us about that? Because it's something that I'd like for everybody listening now to see this movie when it comes out.
Sure. Well, what I will say is that the film is called Twas, T-W-A-S, Twas the Fight. Before Christmas, and you can go to YouTube or just, I guess you could just Google it, but Twas the Fight Before Christmas, Apple Plus, and of course you could just, if you don't have Apple Plus, you can, I think, get a free trial. They probably give you a 1 week or 1 month free. For anybody that wants to see the movie that hasn't subscribed, you could certainly get a free trial from Apple Plus, or if you've purchased a computer or a watch or something in the last year, I think they give you access to that, but that will be coming on November 26th. But if you want to find out more before then, just go check out the trailer. You can watch that. And it is definitely, I guess I get a lot of, I'm getting a lot of phone calls from people very interested in watching this film that's coming up just the day after Thanksgiving. So, yeah, definitely check it out. But as far as the movie goes, yeah, I can't say a lot about it. I just urge everybody to go watch it. You know, I think they do a good job of kind of, you know, walking through the tale. And what you'll find, and what I think I can talk more about, it's just sort of what happened to me, which is definitely reflected in the movie. And I think what happened next was we moved into the house and spent the next 7 months sort of getting ready for what would become the biggest Christmas show ever. This was going to be epic, and it was. And we had 80 actors, and we had a camel and sheep and a living nativity and several choirs and it just got bigger and bigger. And of course, it was all that attention around the world of them trying to shut this down that brought all of those people to that next Christmas show. But at some point in October of that year, we received a notice that they were going to sue us if we proceeded. And in fact, they said we had 10 days to remove all of our Christmas lights. This was after I had given them an ultimatum and let them off, you know, kind of just sort of turn the other cheek a little bit there. And they did not sign our request to be removed from the HOA. So we just hoped that they would leave us alone. And just like any bully, you know, usually that's just not going to happen. I think that's the one lesson you can learn from this. And so they told us that we had that amount of time to do it. And instead we went to the press. And it exploded, and pretty soon we had, you know, press conferences of ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, all kind of on our lawn, and then a militia showed up, and they were very kind to us, and said that, look, if you know, we're going to protect the Morris's Christmas display, and I thought, you know, that's not really going to be necessary. Well, as it turned out, eventually some people in the neighborhood had connected wires and ropes and chains to our Christmas lights. Yeah, and connected them to a truck and pulled them down the street. And so there was attempts to destroy the show. And then they would later go on to assault women at our Christmas show, chase them down the street, smash into a car. I mentioned blockading the road, throwing snowballs. So it was really more or less, I think, more like terrorism. And in fact, we were approached by some neighbors, one of which we videotaped and provided to the FBI, who said that they had many guns on the street and other people were armed, and they could were going to make sure that the militia, which was the 3%er group that offered us protection, that even they could not protect us from what was going to happen to us. And so we hired a lot of security, and the security did an assessment of the area. These are former retired police from Los Angeles, Compton, you know, people who have a lot of experience in some pretty tough areas, as well as one individual who trained SWAT teams all around the country. So all of them came in, and they assessed the situation and where these threats were coming from neighbors and even outside the neighborhood now this has become a national phenomenon. And their advice was to shut down the program because, in their words, they didn't want to see someone show up and start shooting children. So you got to imagine, I'm just sort of in the middle of this going, okay, well, I understand. I don't want to put anyone in harm's way. On the other hand, if I just shut the program down, what I've done is I have let the terrorists win. Yeah. And you kind of just go, how is this even happening? You can't even imagine you've gone from raising money for kids to talking about the FBI and these kinds of things. And so, and what it showed me is the length which the people who preach being quote unquote the most tolerant are really the least tolerant people on earth. These are the haters. These are the people who will do everything they can to destroy you, because make no mistake, when they talk about their views of the world, their secularism, they're very intolerant, and they're very driven and very, very hateful. I remember one speech that was given to CPAC by Newt Gingrich a number of years ago, and whatever someone thinks about Newt Gingrich, his speech was fascinating because he talked about a cross in the Mojave Desert and how the ACLU had spent $10 million, taking a case to the United States Supreme Court involving a cross, a World War I cross, that had been erected in a desert that literally is 200 miles from anything in any direction. And so, and it made me wonder, why would someone, and I don't think he addressed this in his speech, but it got me thinking, why would anyone who doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in any of this, thinks it's a fairy tale, thinks it's, pardon the pun, Santa Claus, why would they spend $10 million if you're only here once on Earth? You know, this is it. This is the big party. This is flesh and blood. There is nothing else after this life. Then we're all dust. Why would you spend $10 million to hide a cross that's in a desert that no one could see? And after my incident, what's happened to me, and I have come to the conclusion is because our power, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against basically another power, darkness, that's way more influential than any of us realize. These people are not just working on their own desire because they don't like Christians or they don't like someone because of they're conservative or they're a Trump voter. Many of them are really, really motivated by evil. They actually have like a demonic spirit. And that's what I was fighting. And it took the help of militias to really, I mean, honestly, to have put on a Christmas display. So I was faced with that question, what are you going to do? And they even offered me in my living room, surrounded by police, former police and these advisors, security people, they will help you produce the video. It'll be very nice on how you're not going to have your Christmas show because of threats. And people will understand. And I remember weeping. And I just said, I don't know, I'm not a person who normally cries. And I part of it was I was just exhausted, but I said, I'm not going to do that. We will find a way, but we will do this show because we will not let them win. And we did do the show. No one was hurt. We raised thousands upon thousands of dollars, an incredible amount of money for the children. But the biggest thing was we had showed that if you stand up for what you believe in, that even with all the forces against you in this culture, you can prevail. And for me, being a lawyer, the question was asked of me, why would you do this? Why would you spend everything that you had? And I've said, you know, my wife had turned to me at one point and said, you know, we could just walk away from this and it would be okay. We could protect our family. And but there was one comment that was said, and this was the comment between her and I, private comment, alone in a person's house. And it was, if not us, then who? If not someone who's a lawyer, who's trained to do this, would stand up against this, then doesn't that mean that no one would? Because it, wow, was it hard enough for me? And it was very difficult. And so I think the lesson there is just if you have any, I mean, everyone has different skills, different talents. If you have the ability to do something, then you use that skill. Some people are not lawyers. Some people are three percenters, right? Who just say, yeah, hey, we're going to come out and we're going to protect your Christmas display from anyone that's going to try and destroy it. I mean, that's that was right. Immensely helpful. And so I think that's the message, is you do what is within your power, and together the community coming together, helping me. And I never wanted to besmirch my community. My community was wonderful. It was one group of people who were not even from this area, many of them from New York, if you really want to know. And they imagine were that. Very hateful people. Yeah, and they were very hateful, wow, people. And together we stood shoulder to shoulder, and we fought, and we ended up in federal court. Even Santa Claus testified.
Awesome. That's why I brought you on. That's a big win, and the fact that you didn't know how it would turn out, but you decided against, you know, the recommendation to go ahead with it. And, you know, I want to shout out to the, you know, three percenters. They are awesome, wonderful guys. Militias are very misunderstood. They're generally really good-hearted people. They're just standing up for, you know, for each other and their neighborhoods, and they are not the way they've been portrayed. So that is wonderful. You know, I've got a caller on the line. I'm going to bring him in, and he may have a question for you. And yeah, so Fred in Michigan on line 3, are you with us, Fred?
I am.
Hey, welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment for Jeremy?
Well, both. Jeremy, when you have been targeted, and as you cited, across in the desert in the ACLU, which I call the American Communitarian legal.
I take your point. I see where you're going. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in 1928, there's a Rothschild publication in France, La Revue de Paris, in which is reprinted a letter to Karl Marx from Baruch Levy. The Jewish people as a whole shall be its own Messiah. It shall attain world dominion by the dissolution of other races. That's the Kalergi plan that we've been witnessing for the last 30 years. The Kalergi plan in international communism, you can find on BitChute, done by a military veteran, Matthew North, from the Great Northwest, who unfortunately was murdered a year ago. Okay, so the annihilation of monarchy, abolition of frontiers, establishment of a world republic in which Jews and only Jews everywhere shall exercise citizenship in this new world order. So you mention charities and you mention helping children afflicted with cancer. That's very near and dear to me because I've known people throughout my entire life, even when I was a Roman Catholic grade school student, member, classmate, had died of cancer, et cetera. I've known Vietnam veterans, Agent Orange victims dying of various cancers, and their children are all messed up. And then a couple years ago, I met a guy who told me both of his daughters had died of cystic fibrosis. One was 2 years old, one was 3 years old.
And hey, Fred, sorry to interrupt you. We've got a break coming up in just a couple minutes, so if you could have a little more brief question or comment, because we're going to
What I'm wondering here is when you say charities, I've tracked charities and their so-called goodwill relative to, childhood physiologic anomalies, such as Make-A-Wish Foundation. And when I contacted Make-A-Wish Foundation in my venue, Flint, Michigan, because I know I have proven 16 times, including pancreatic cancers, that causation is the first thing that needs to be addressed, and no medical doctor, expert, as I say, medicide demon anywhere in any hospital ever addresses causation. But once that's done and then you integrate things like medicinal therapeutic mushrooms, abracadabra, within a month, I have witnessed miraculous transformations with people, including pancreatic cancer. So,
would you like me to comment on my charity?
Yeah, Fred.
My phone number. I'm going to leave my phone number with the board up. I want to talk with you privately, extensively on this subject matter. Okay, because we obviously don't have time for this right now. Okay.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that. We're going to let you go there, Fred. Yeah, what do you have to say to that? I mean, there certainly is a large amount of opposition and craziness. Well, we're about to go to break.
Yeah, I'm actually my father is Jewish, but I am a Christian. So I'm not going to comment on, any of those first things that the caller said. But what I will say is, I do love Jewish people, and I'm actually Jewish, but what I will say is this, we donated to some small charities of children, people we know who had lost their children and started their own charities. So these were not large international charity organizations that we were not involved with. We knew these individuals and where the money was going and going directly to kids. And that's one of the reasons we started our own foundation called, since then, a 501c3 fully tax deductible. I hope anyone could go and check it out. And it's called The Christmas Lighthouse Foundation, and you can find them at the christmaslighthouse.org. And what we do is we go into hospitals. We try and have absolutely almost no expenses, costs, but the money is going as far as it can. We basically try and celebrate Christmas with children during Christmas who cannot leave the hospital. So that's singing Silent Night, that's singing songs. It's presents,
awesome,
too, but it's more than that. So yeah, that's
awesome.
What we do with our money.
We're going to take one last break here. We'll be right back on the other side of our break with Jeremy Morris on the White Rose Resistance Hour.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
These are the days.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the tail end of show number 41 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe on RBN. And my guest, Jeremy Morris. Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing your tale with us. And I really look forward to seeing the film when it comes out. And we've got just a few minutes of the show left. So if you want to give out any of that information, how people can watch that, or how they can contact you if you like, or how they can view some of your work, please let us know how we can, you know, get a hold of you or view your work.
Well, that's one of the most exciting things I have to share with you this evening. I'm glad you I was going to ask, so thank you. What I've decided to do in light of the launch of this movie and the national attention is I decided to start my own YouTube channel, and we launched that this week along with some websites for the foundation and another website as well. But what we're going to be doing is we have spent the last 2 years building a legal network to defend people who have had similar things happen to them. And just to give you a quick example, Last Christmas, I'm sure someone could look this up. I'm not going to give a lot of detailed information, but there was a big national headline story involving a beautiful couple from North Carolina whose homeowners association told them that their cross could not be out at Christmas. And you can't make this stuff up, but because, quote, that is an Easter symbol and this is Christmas. And they actually asked for Bible verses to be provided to the HOA to prove that the cross was necessary to Christmas. So we did go ahead and file a federal lawsuit. I spearheaded that, and it's taken a full year. But in the end, what I will say, and I'm a little bit prevented from going into any detail, but we overwhelmingly prevailed. And let me just say that this family is now tonight sitting very, very comfortably based on what happened in that case. So what I would ask is if anybody could go to my YouTube channel, and it's called The Christmas Lawyer. The Christmas Lawyer. If you can look that up on YouTube, please click like and subscribe. I'm looking for as many subscribers as we can. For every 200 subscribers that subscribes to my channel, The Christmas Lawyer, what we'll be doing is giving away $2,500 worth of free legal advice regarding your issue. Moreover, anybody that needs assistance to fight these sort of ACLU, we're sort of against, we're on the other end of those legal issues with the ACLU. We're the Liberty Law Group, and what we will do is we will come into your state, and we will fight and defend you if you are being targeted. And so this whole experience that has been done to my family is now being used, I believe, by God as a ministry, not only to help kids with cancer and all the things I originally was trying to do, but also just to help people who are being targeted politically based on their Christian beliefs, based on maybe the color of their skin, maybe they're you know, of European descent, and they're being targeted. We want to come out. We want to help you because no one should be discriminated against on the basis of their religion or their skin color.
Awesome. We're going to leave it there. Yeah, thank you for prevailing. You've set a wonderful precedent. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And encourage everybody to go ahead and go to your YouTube channel. Folks, that's it for the show, number 41. I love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Spending in your ends, and as you really have to pray. Looking for a sign that the universe on my hands has written you into the passion play. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.